You are listening to the INCJ podcast, conversations about international criminal justice.
Okay, so hi everyone. I'm Yuti Metlow. I'm a researcher and lecturer at the Charles University in Prague and at the University of Ostrava in Ostrava from the Czech Republic. And I'd like to share some of my thoughts and experiences with peering, especially peering in a criminal justice system and how it can be used for rehabilitation and recovery process for women who got involved in the criminal justice system. I'd like to share some of my presentation. And well, it's visible right now. That's basic introduction, which I have set beforehand. So, first of all, I'd like to ground my presentation in some research that I have done in several past years. I'd like to point out three of them. First two were carried out in collaboration with Rubicon Centrum, which is a Czech NGO providing some social services to incarcerated and formerly incarcerated persons in the Czech Republic. I have collaborated with them on a project which was aimed at women who were incarcerated, and we did semi-structured and narrative interviews with these women about their situation after incarceration, in incarceration, and about their experiences with Czech public institutions as well as Czech NGOs. The second research project I was involved in was named Our Voice Matters, and this project was aimed actually specifically on people or women as well as men who do peering after their incarceration in the Czech Republic. Again, it was based on interviews, some structured interviews with them, as well as with some NGO organizations collaborating with peers. And the third research project was named Therapeut VTOS. It was focused on prison personnel in the Czech Republic. Again, it was some structured interviews with some civil prison personnel and some NGOs providing prison and post-prison social work. And this project was important in the Czech Republic context because it was first of its kind, and it was the first chance that provide me some insight into some kind of peering in Czech prisons. Everything that I will be presenting here is grounded in this research. With that being said, I'd like to declare also my positionality, which is quite specific, I think. Maybe from the standpoint of some foreign lecturers and researchers, it is not, but from the standpoint of Czech Republic researcher, it is not quite usual to have a critical cultural and feminist stance. So I'm used to it to declare it whenever I can. So my position is, as I said, critical cultural and feminist, basically in this kind of criminology. So my emphasis is based rather on structural cultural conditions rather than some kind of individual psychology, which is quite usual in so-called classic criminology. So I am interested in how is criminality produced by some structural problems, inequalities, oppressions, social harm, and so on. And I do not regard it as a product of some decontextualized or racialized racial choices or eventualities. And the second concept in which my positionality is based on is a trauma-informed approach. Again, I have experienced that in other countries, this is some kind of gold standard in rehabilitation and recovery processes. Again, in Czech Republic, this approach is not so usual and still not used very often. So again, throughout the presentation, I will regard trauma as some kind of vital part of crime production and a vital part of rehabilitation and recovery process, both for women and men. So, first of all, I'd like to give some context what we know in the Czech Republic about women and their conflict with the criminal justice system. I won't be presenting nothing new. I believe it's very similar to the foreign context here in the Czech Republic, but just to reassure that in the Czech Republic, the situation is more or less the same. With that being said, I'd like to point out that the women criminality is often intertwined with the interactions and relationships with men. That is, men have a very strong role in narratives and pathways of women who are in conflict with the Czech criminal system. Also, very important factor is drug abuse. Again, very often drug abuse is involved in women's criminality. It's from narratives, we know that it is often a coping mechanism to digress from some kind of trauma, and it is some kind of self-medication. That is, many women have been traumatized in their past and have some kind of trauma and mental health issues. And the drug abuse is some kind of strategic way to mitigate these problems. What is interesting and maybe a little bit different from the countries abroad is that we have proportionally more women than men incarcerated for violent crimes. I believe that in other countries it's other way around. More men are proportionally incarcerated for violent crimes. Here in Czech Republic is this way. I'm not sure, and nobody's sure what is the cause right now, but according to statistics, it is this way, like this way. Again, Very important factor is marginalization. Marginalization play a big role in many intersectional narratives of women in terms of poverty, some kind of social capabilities or education. many women face the situation in which they are alone with children and must care for children. So this situation automatically means that they are often marginalized. And again, the coping strategy to resolve this situation is some kind of criminality act. Not surprisingly, most women are usually both victims and as well as perpetrators. Again, trauma is involved in this sense. So many women experienced child sexual abuse, some kind of violence, or they are simply culturally subordinated in terms of a role in a society. So it means that they have experienced some kind of domestic violence. What is specific for the Czech Republic, I think, is that we have public institutions that are quite negligent and apologetic toward domestic violence, and maybe also other forms of abuse and violence. By this, I mean that sentencing is scarce and sentences does not fulfill the social retribution principle. And maybe because of this, women don't have a confidence in public institutions, which may result in criminal acts, and it is one of the reasons why proportionally more women are incarcerated for violent crimes here. But it's not sure. My analysis of the situation, I would say. Very interestingly, one NGO in the Czech Republic named Profem has done a research of some court cases, and they found out that a lot of judges were real apologetic towards domestic violence. As I said, also to sexual violence. One judge was sentencing some man for sexual abuse of his child, said that this man had a normal life except for abusing his children, and so he's not gave him a sentence to prison, but some kind of sentence, some alternative sentencing instead of prison. So we are facing, in the Czech Republic, guys facing these kind of problems. And these kind of problems have a very vital role in the women's conflict with the criminal justice system. I would like to give some thoughts about peering in criminology and criminal justice system, because I believe it's not the same as the general peering or generally regarded peering. I believe that in criminology, the metaphor of wounded healer is more often used than peering itself. I'm not sure why, but as I see it, it frames nicely the main traits of peering. That is, that the peer position has a potential to help both peers, peer and people who are collaborating with peers. The peering can be and is regarded in criminology as some type of social work, which is based on authenticity, which is for me the basic and very vital and important factor in the whole process of peering and the process of rehabilitation and recovery. Peering is also based on the strong sense of ethics of care. Many peers have a strong urge to help others in similar positions. So peering is also very good or very very positively regarded in terms of employing the negative past in a more positive way. So that experience with imprisonment, experience with the conflict with law is transformed into positive thing and positive experience that can help others with their position, with their problems. And the lived experience is utilized and otherwise would be useless because prison experience and prisonization is something that scarcely can be used in a society and scarcely induce and support some social skills. Peering is also very useful in terms of mutual recovery from the past, and it supports some kind of development or self-development in terms of various skills and capacities. Peers and people who are collaborating with peers get better in, for example, in resilience. They are more or less susceptible to some kind of, for example, social stigmatization and some kind of social problems they are facing, or individual problems which are contextualized in social problems. And one important thing, which is not usual, at least not in Czech Republic, is that peering can be employed both in prison and outside the prison. Here in Czech Republic, we do not use peering in prisons for some kind of reason. Which is shame, because recently I found out in one study from American Texas that they implemented one bachelor program in prison in Texas that to which inmates can enroll and become some kind of field ministers, meaning there are peers in the prison. And this program is very interesting and, in my view, very very good. So, also, it was interesting that it has some kind of steep enrollment recommendations or mandatories for enrollment in order to become field ministers. The inmate must have 19 years of sentence left, which means that they study for field ministers 4 years, then they do peering and help other inmates for another 10 years. And they are released on parole last 5 years of their sentence, which is quite interesting system. I'm not sure if I would set up this way myself, but overall, it's very, very interesting program. Also, I'd like to point out that peering is not only a social work outside the prison and in prisons, because there is also a unique field of convict criminology based mainly on in the United States, where people with the experience from prisons and with some kind of experience with criminal justice system can study bachelor, master's and PhD programs, specially designed for them, and then be researchers and lecturers at the university, which is a great opportunity again to utilize the negative past and go in some positive recovery and rehabilitative way. Again, this is, we lack this in the Czech Republic. We do not have special programs for incarcerated or formerly incarcerated persons. It's just, again, it's again the shame, because, and I will be talking about it in a minute, many formerly imprisoned persons do not have, for example, a high school diploma, and they don't have many chances to obtain it otherwise than to start a four-year studying, which is demanding in the position that they are 30 or more years old, and they have to secure their economic position and subsistence and so on. So, with that being said, we can now see or we can discuss how is peering useful for peers themselves. Definitely, it's not an option for everyone. Not everyone want to be a peer. But in my view, it provides some kind of flexible frame for building some kind of unique resistance or resistive, rehabilitative, and recovery path. I believe that every lived experience is unique to some extent, so one size does not fit all. So peering is a good way to enable this, to utilize this uniqueness and to accommodate this uniqueness. Accommodate this uniqueness into the rehabilitative process. I already said this. Peers can utilize the experience from the past that would otherwise go down the drain. Peering supports desistance, that is some kind of long-term absence of a conflict with the criminal justice system. Peering helps with some kind of self-esteem and self-development of peers, and through this self-esteem and self-development, they can reflect of their own resistance and rehabilitative path. So it's some kind of reflexive tool for them. If we are talking about peering, aimed at women, especially at women, I believe that peering is very very useful in some kind of very demanding topics or demanding rehabilitation topics. Typically, when, as I said, traumatization, domestic violence, and for example, childcare is involved in a pathway to recovery and to rehabilitation, which means that it is a big difference when a social worker approach is released woman who experienced some kind of traumatization and some kind of violence, and this social worker does not have this experience and does not have experienced prison. Then when woman peer approaches the woman in need, and she has similar or basically the same experience and can share this experience with formerly incarcerated women and help them and share the compassion and offer the feeling of compassion to these women. So in this way, in this regard, peering can be very useful for in this situation, and especially in for women and their past. Right now, I believe that peering is culturally maybe more viable option for women than men. There are some cultural preconditions for this, and of course, it's some kind of cultural and social stereotyping, that is the ethics of care that's heavily involved in peering, as I said, is still very tightly knit with women. It's often a domain of women. For example, it coincides with the genderization of social work in the Czech Republic. Around 80% of social workers were women in 2014. I haven't found new statistics, but based on my teaching experiences, and I teach at social work programs, I have been teaching in several social work programs for several years. We have a great majority of women in these programs. So I think nothing much have changed since 2014 in this regard. And so peering in terms of women involvement can be also quite stereotypically useful or helpful as a starting point for them in their social work career. As I said, it's maybe a more viable way for women than men in contemporary social and cultural conditions. Peering is very useful also, of course, for persons who are cooperating or collaborating with peers. And I believe that for incarcerated and post-incarcerated persons, the single most important thing is that they feel more accepted and not judged when they are interacting with peers. It's a more authentic interaction, and in this sense, interaction with social workers may induce some kind of power relations, which again may undermine social work and the rehabilitation process. The authenticity is a far more important factor in the social work with the incarcerated and post-incarcerated persons, as it can help with traumatization, which is again more prevalent in women pathways, because women can may feel a better understanding and more compassion by a women peer who has a similar experience. And this thing solely can resolve many, many problems and many, many situations which may emerge after after releasing. At the same time, peering with its accent on authenticity is in compliance with trauma-informed approach, which is very important, I think. Peering can be useful in terms of similar language and mutual understanding, which means sometimes social workers are incomprehensible for released persons with their language. Formerly incarcerated persons simply don't understand them. They're more complicated. They use more complicated language than it's viable. And so peers can be some kind of middle factor between the social workers and the clients of the social services in this regard, as they use civil language, which is more understandable. Peers can act as a role model for clients, which means the interactions between peers and clients can bring some kind of hope, a feeling of hope for clients, in the sense that they face intersectionally intertwined problems, and they are often hopeless in their position, and then they see some peers who faced similar problems, similar barriers, and they got over them. And they are peers and providing some kind of support. So this may be potentially more important for women, because often they faced a higher rate of stigmatization. For example, because they failed in the role of mother. At the top of the incarceration, they face this kind of stigmatization, failure of motherhood. They are more often stereotypization. For example, women who abuse alcohol is more stigmatized and stereotypized than men who are using alcohol, not excessively using alcohol. And the combination of this kind of stigmatizations and stereotypizations can induce a higher rate of hopelessness. And again, how peers and women peers can lower this this rate of hopelessness and give women clients some kind of hope for the future. And peering is often linked to some kind of self-help groups, which means that often when released women, men, clients generally collaborate with the some kind of social services, social workers. Do some kind of rehabilitative work for some time, and then the clients are released from the service and they are on their own. And many times this is potentially a risk situation in terms of getting back to prison because of lack of support and lack of some kind of help with some social situations that may emerge. And peering continues well beyond this this cooperation, because these self-help groups are some kind of continuous a tool or continuous service that can be used by literally everyone with the same experience. And there are self-help groups which work for many years, and some clients attend them for many years and receive support from these groups. And it is, I think, important for them to keep outside and keep their desistance or abstain from criminal justice activity. And again, this is something that peering brought up, not social services, I believe. One of the last slides which I would like to share is limits of peering in the Czech Republic, which is super important for furthering development of peering. Although peering in the Czech Republic is one of the services, tools, which is more developed in compared to other social services in the Czech Republic, it has some deep limitations, and there are many of them. First of all, there is a projectification of peering in the Czech Republic, which means the peering is badly financed. There is no systematic financing of peering in the Czech Republic. Most of peers are financed through some kind of projects, especially from the abroad, so European Union and from Norwegian projects, which means that this kind of service and employment is not stable, because the position of peer starts with projects and ends with project. And besides, the projectification and lack of financing means also that peers are facing the absence of dignified wages. Their wages is really small, and I think they, in many cases, they can't cope with their subsistence problems, and they have to have more employment and more positions in order to secure themselves. Another problem is that persons with criminal past cannot work in social services. This is this induced by Czech legislation, and it includes peer positions. I have some news or some kind of information that this should be changed by some kind of legislative revision, hopefully maybe even this year or next year, but it has not been approved by legislative bodies to this day, so it's a question mark, big question mark. Besides it, another legislation problem is that peering is not grounded in legislation or checklist legislation. So it's not clear what activities and intervention should be done by peers. It's not clear what peers should do, which is on one hand quite liberating, I would say, but from the experience, on the other hand, it can be quite burning for peers because many times they do everything and anytime, and it's demanding for them and for their mental health, because they should be available, as I said, in any time and for everyone. And that's simply difficult for them, or maybe difficult for them. Another problem, and I already said it, is the absence of alternative and quick way to get some kind of high school diploma. Many peers and many incarcerated and released persons do not have a high school diploma, which is needed usually for working in social services and for getting a better wage in social service. But it's not only this formal problem, it is also a problem of some kind of self-esteem. I had several interviews with peers who said to me that they are fine, they are formally fine with the situation not having a high school diploma, but they feel low self-esteem because of it. So a formal education is important for them in some kind of internal way. It's something that should be enabled to them in some quick way, because as I said, right now they have only one option, and that is to enroll to a classic high school for 4 years, and after 4 years they do the final exam and get the high school diploma, which is quite time demanding, and for many peers it's not a viable option because they have to care for children, secure subsistence, and so on. One of the big limitations in the Czech Republic is absence of peering in prisons. We simply do not have any programs in this regard. There is one small exception, and that is, and I encountered it in several prisons, and that is situation that some portion of incarcerated persons or inmates have special needs, and they are situated in special sections in the in these prisons, and prison personnel simply don't have time, capacities, and so on to look after them. So they usually appoint other inmates, other incarcerated persons to look after these inmates with special needs. So practically, this is some kind of peering, but it's not a systematically developed peering. It's not something which would be done with a specific peering idea in mind, but it's some kind of coping strategy for prisons to secure some kind of care for a specific population or specific segment of population in prisons. A specific problem is also liminality, which is a very interesting issue, at least for me, because from my interviews and also from the literature, it seems that there is some kind of positional in-betweenness, meaning that if women, men, it doesn't matter, accepts the position of peer, they are caught or stuck in a position that they are not the past criminal identity anymore, and they do not have the new social identity either. So they are stuck in between these two positions. And it could be, again, demanding for their mental health, because they continually, perpetually have to approve themselves to the social services, to the society, to some kind of their social nets, and so on. And for some peers, this is very very problematic, and it's the reason why they go they stop peering, basically. Also, the Czech Republic faces some kind of structural problems and conditions. We do have a problem with housing. There is not enough sufficient housing for not even for so-called normal or ordinary population in the Czech Republic. Which means it's very scarce for some marginalized populations, including released persons from prison, especially for women, because women usually apply for the ability to care for their children, which is mandated by the situation, by good situation, including good housing situation and the subsistence, secured subsistence, which is more complicated for women than men in the Czech Republic. Very specific way for the Czech Republic is over indebtedness. We have many people who are in debt in the Czech Republic, and that's because we produce these people systematically by not regulating non-bank debts or loans and indebtedness. It started to be regulated only in 2016. Until this year, that year, it was unregulated, and it meant that maybe I would say nearly 100% people with the experience from criminal justice system are over in debt and have problems with the debt and inability to repay the debt. Also, we have a scarcity of social services, which is, I believe, a quite usual problem, not only in the Czech Republic, but elsewhere too. Which means that peers are still clients. At some point, they are providing social services, they are providing social work to other people, but they are clients in some other social services as well. And this adds up to the liminality position, because not only they are caught in betweenness, they are part of the social system in the terms of their clients, and they help other clients, so their position is really murky and not really clear. So they have difficulties to focus on peering when addressing their own issues, and it's something that is very pressing in the Czech Republic, and again, it can be a reason to stop doing peering because simply the individual problems are so pressing that it's the peering can be done simply. And there is also a deep stereotypization from the side of the Czech society. Peers are regarded as someone who should perpetually approve himself or herself. It is really demanding again for them, the stereotypization can be regarded as a factor that supports quitting peering and doing anything else. So we are at the end of the presentation, and I'd like to point out some questions for discussion. These questions are based on what I have been talking about. And again, and also I'd like to share some experiences from other countries, especially what are experiences with peering in these countries, what are limits. I mean, talking about Czech specific limits, but I believe that other countries have their own special limits. So I'm interested what these limits are, and more importantly, how can we overcome these limits and issues? That's very important question, and I'd like to share it because of the Czech Republic situation and my interest in more. In developing the peering more in the Czech Republic. The very, very interesting question is what helped to develop structural capacities for supporting peering, because structural capacities are next to nil in the Czech Republic. I would say it's really initiative of NGOs and some peers who are really active and socially active in this regard. But other of that, or part of that, there is no systematic support from the Czech public institutions, for example. So I would be interesting how the structural capacities were developed. Another very interesting and very important question is how is peering grounded in your legislation? I believe it is very important because too strict grounding of peering is dangerous in terms of situation that you know, public institutions say, oh, this is peering and this is not peering, and you are peer and you are not peer. And I believe that peering is something very free, liberating. It's not formalized social work, and it should stay so. So the grounding of in legislation should be not as strict as some kind of definitions and these kind of things. So I would be curious about some specific limits, some specific legislative constructs and their limits in countries. And the last, but not least, I am interested in liminality, as I have been speaking about. Is this issue in your country, are peers in your country caught in betweenness, and what helped again mitigating this issue, and what helped to unstuck this position and liberate peers more. So that's it. Thanks for attention. Hopefully it was comprehensible. I will be looking forward for discussion. And
you have been listening to the INCJ podcast, conversations about international criminal justice. To find out more, go to our website at criminaljusticenetwork.net or follow us on Twitter at INTCJ Network.